Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein, and this is the Song Travels Podcast. Each week on Song Travels, my guest and I share an hour of conversation and music. The Song Travels Podcast features some of my favorite moments from the interview. To listen to full episodes online, visit npr.org, and for more podcasts, subscribe at itunes.com/songtravels. Hi, I'm Michael Feinstein. My guest today is vocalist and songwriter Jose James. He draws his musical inspiration from disparate sources, from hip-hop and indie rock to jazz and R&B. He attended the New School for Jazz and Contemporary Music in New York and gained a following with his first two albums, Dreamer and Black Magic. He toured extensively in Europe, and his breakout in the U.S. came with his acclaimed 2013 album, No Beginning, No End. He continued that success with his 2014 release, While You Were Sleeping, which blends R&B and jazz with rock. Jose, welcome to Song Travels.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's really great to be able to meet you and to talk about your music and listen to you, because you are this amazing amalgam of so many different kinds of music. You are acclaimed for combining many musical genres. Did that hurt you at the beginning of your career?
Absolutely. Nobody understood it. Everybody sort of said, I love the jazz you do. Why would you want to do anything else? And for me, it's all about how I found jazz, actually. I found jazz through samples. You know, I'm a child of the 90s, so, you know, jazz was being sampled in a lot of hip-hop tracks. So that's how I first actually heard about, you know, Miles Davis.
But you noticed those samples where a lot of people wouldn't.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it caught my ear right away, and I said, wow, what is that? And as soon as I discovered this treasure trove of American history, I was hooked. You know, I started from Louis Armstrong and work my way up.
Your most recent recording is another departure in that you have done jazz recordings before, but this one is a specific tribute to Billie Holiday. Mm. You titled it Yesterday I Had the Blues, and before we speak about Billie Holiday and what she means to you, can we jump in and ask you to sing something?
Absolutely.
You've brought a marvelous pianist with you, Leo Genovese. And you're going to start with a signature song of Billie's. It's called Good Morning Heartache.
Oh, yeah. Number one on my list.
Good morning, heartache. I thought we said goodbye last night. I turned and tossed until it seemed you had gone. But here you are with the dawn.
Good morning, heartache. Beautifully rendered by our guest, Jose James. What is it about Billie Holiday that made you want to do an entire tribute recording to her?
Well, she's literally the first memory I have of my life.
Of your life?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm 3 years old. I'm sitting down and pulling out vinyl and looking at album covers. And I pull out Billie Holiday's and I just stop. I can remember this. I stop and I'm looking at her face. I see the flower in her hair and it's black and white. Everything else is in color, you know, and all of a sudden I'm like, wow, what, you know, what is this? And I'm just staring at it. And somehow I asked my mom to put on the album because I knew what it was. She would play records. And I heard her for the first time and I was like hooked. And I remember she would sing God Bless the Child That's Got His Own, and I always thought it was his-o. Because of her Baltimore accent, you know? And I was always wondering, like, what's his O? His O, you know, I never figured it out. But literally, that's my first memory. And I rediscovered Billy in high school, you know, when I got into jazz seriously. And I don't know, something about her voice, and there's a familiarity that's difficult to explain, but whenever I hear Billie Holiday, I feel like I've met her before. I mean, everybody kind of feels like that. You feel like you know her. You feel like she knows you. She has that certain special thing that makes you feel vulnerable but safe at the same time emotionally.
Do you remember feeling sadness when you listened to her records? I mean, when you were 3 years old, did you experience emotions that you might not have experienced before through that music?
Well, when I was that little, I just think her voice was cool.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like literally, she just sounds like nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might have had the same experience listening to like Louis Armstrong, who I didn't hear until I was like 15.
So you're from Minneapolis. You discover jazz. Were there contemporaries of yours that had the same interest, or were you a lone wolf in that?
I was the only singer who liked jazz, but I was in the jazz band. I knew a lot of jazz musicians, but yeah, I was the only singer. I actually never thought of that. Hmm. Everybody else wanted to be a rapper or an R&B singer. I just was fascinated by jazz. And at the time, you know, Blue Note had Cassandra Wilson, they had Kurt Elling, and I was very hopeful about, you know, joining them at some point. And it really felt like, you know, this, and it was this resurgence of, I guess they say the young lions now, you know, like Wynton and Christian McBride and all those guys on the opposite side from the singers. So to me, it felt like, wow, this is really cool. And I sort of made my decision on that. Yeah, I mean, for me, jazz has always felt like a contemporary art form. It's never felt like, I mean, obviously I'm aware of the history, but people are saying, well, is jazz back or is it dead? Is it over? Is it, for me, it's just the music.
It's timeless.
Yeah, exactly.
You dropped out of school though? You dropped out of school?
I did. Dropped out of high school, finished high school eventually. Didn't go to college for a long time. And then I eventually went to the new school for a year, but not till 2005. So I took a long break from school because I wanted to learn how to sing old school. I wanted to gig. I wanted to learn on the bandstand. I didn't want to learn in the way that it's necessarily taught now. Hmm. Because I mean, for me, the logic was very simple. Nobody who I admired learned music that way.
Well, you're going to do another song for us was written, actually it was written in 1929, but a lot of people know it from the Coleman Hawkins record, I think was 1947. But of course, Billie Holiday sang it. And there's all these different sets of lyrics written for this song.
Mm, that's right.
And what does Body and Soul mean to you?
Mm. I think it's one of like the mystical standards, you know what I mean? It's really like a exploration of that boundary, you know, where you have your desires, you have the things you want, and you sort of reach out to people in an emotional or spiritual way in ways you can't touch. And you also live in your body and you have physical desires, and it's some kind of like marriage of the two. You know, that's what we're like always searching for. Usually doesn't work out the way we want it to. But that's what this song means to me.
Would you sing it for us now?
Absolutely. My heart is sad and lonely. For you I cry, for you dear only. Why haven't you seen it? I'm all for you. Body and soul.
Incredible, Jose. I have to say that your fearlessness in the choices you make and interpretation are rather extraordinary. You switch from one range to another very, very naturally, and you have an unusual approach to music. Do you go back to the original sheet music of something when you learn a song?
I used to, definitely. And you're like, wow, this is so different.
Yeah.
This is so interesting. Yeah. I did that, especially at the new school. And yeah, you go back, especially when you've listened to like someone like Billie Holiday sing, and then you go back to the original, and you're like, this is not even the same song. This is like totally reharmonized, and melodically, the phrasing. To me, that's why I know she's a genius, you know, because you get that reference and you're like, oh my God, she totally changed it in a way that's just like, to me, still shocking today, certain choices.
Yes, and of course, those were choices that she, in many cases, made at the spur of the moment, and it was immortalized on a recording, and then everybody sings it exactly that way. And it's like, well, she did it differently, too. That's just the... Because when you listen to different recordings of things, of the same song that she made, you hear that. You're going to do another song live with Leo from your recent recording, Yesterday I Had the Blues, and it's something that Billy co-wrote, Fine and Mellow.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was... For me, she was as much of a blues singer as she was a jazz singer. And, you know, Bessie Smith was like her idol. And that sort of gets, not forgotten, but kind of downplayed. Everyone talks about how Louis Armstrong was, and he was, you know, a huge influence on her. But she was very connected to the blues and gospel music as well.
Hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting to think that when she made her first record in 1933, Bessie Smith was still alive for a few more years, and Ethel Waters, and this whole period that was such an important transitional time. And she is one of the seminal figures who created that transition. Would you sing Fine and Mellow for us?
Let's do it.
Here it is, Leo Genovese at the piano with our guest Jose James, Fine and Mellow.
My girl don't love me. She treat me all so mean. Baby doesn't love me. She treat me awful mean. She's the lowest girl that I've ever seen.
You've been listening to the Song Travels podcast. To stream the full hour of this program, visit npr.org, and thank you for listening. I'm Michael Feinstein, host of Song Travels. To support this series, join the Friends of Song Travels. You can find more information on our Facebook page at facebook.com/songtravels.